Welcome to the Victor Orlando Podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
What's up, Victory? I'm so glad you could join us today at Church Online. We're right in the middle of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. We're 1 week in, you've got two to go. And I just want to encourage you, you're doing a great job. You're going to make it. Typically in week two, there are some days where there are struggles. Most people, if they give up during a fast, it's in this season, in the second week. But I just want to encourage you, you're going to make it. We're not going to be those that give up. So press through the hard this week. Continue to press in prayer and lean in to hear what God is saying to you. I believe he's going to strengthen you. He's going to equip you and speak things to you in these days ahead. And I want to personally invite you to join us this week. Every night we're hosting nights of prayer from 6 to 6:30. They're all hosted on Zoom, except for Wednesday night. We'll be actually in person at our team center. I want to encourage you to be part of as many of those nights of prayer as you can. We're going to get ready for the message, but before we do, I want you to tell someone sitting near you today, you're going to get something good out of this. That's right. Let's go ahead and pray and prepare our hearts and our minds for the message today. Lord, I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for new beginnings for this new year, Lord God, and all of the things that are ahead of us, God. No matter what we face, you are with us. So God, I pray today you would speak to us. Let your word come alive in us as we plant it in our heart. Let it take root in us and produce fruit because we are good ground. And if you agree, let me hear you say amen. Well, since we're at the start of a new year, I want to start a brand new series of messages called Back to the Basics. For those of you that don't know, I love football, and I've been a Green Bay Packers fan since I was just a little kid. And in 1958, the Green Bay Packers had won only one game, despite having 13 out of the 55 guys that were on the roster that were All-Pro and Hall of Fame players. In 1959, Vince Lombardi became the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And by his second season, Coach Lombardi had turned things around. The Packers won their first division title in 16 years and came up 9 yards short on the final play of the 1960 championship game. At the start of training camp for the 1961 season, Coach Lombardi walked into one of the most talented locker rooms in professional football history and said maybe one of the most astonishing, one of the most iconic quotes in all of sports. He stood up in front of this room of professional football players, held up a football and said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Now, can you imagine that room? People thinking, yeah, coach, we know I'm going to be in the Hall of Fame for one day for professional football. We know what a football is. We almost won the championship. Thanks a lot. Now, that statement was in no way an insult. It wasn't even an oversimplification or a statement of the obvious. It was all about getting back to the basics, getting back to the core, to the foundation of what they were trying to accomplish, winning a championship. See, without a firm grip on the basics, without a firm foundation, regardless of what profession you are in or what goals you have, it's incredibly easy to lose sight of our core values and our ability to achieve victory no matter what we're facing. See, Vince Lombardi and the Packers would go on to win 5 NFL championships in the next 7 years, including 3 in a row. Now, that is an amazing accomplishment, but an even more important lesson for us that no matter what your past looks like, no matter what your disappointments or your failures, your past successes, your hurts, your pains, your losses or struggles, listen, we serve a God who can heal, restore, and cause things that were meant to destroy you to serve as a springboard for his power to make a difference through our lives. But the key is, how much are we willing to live according to the life of faith that God has spelled out in his word? See, we've got to realize that the basics of Christian life, they're not merely memorizing scripture or knowing some Bible stories or trying to be spiritual, whatever else. The basics of the Christian life is the surrender of our lives to God and allowing Him to transform us from the inside out. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 in the Passion Translation says it so beautifully. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I would encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be His sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights His heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. So worship is not just contained to a song we sing on Sunday in church, but worship is more about living our lives every day in such a way that it brings joy and delight to God our Father. Now, so how do we do that? He tells us in the next verse, stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a peaceful and beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. In other words, before we surrender our lives to Christ, we lived and thought one way. But when we take that step of faith to confess Jesus as our Savior and receive salvation, we are given the Holy Spirit to empower a total transformation of how we live, how we think, and how we act. And it's not to pressure us or to make us feel overwhelmed. This process of transformation is lifelong. It begins in the moment we receive Christ and continues daily until our bodies die and we step into eternity. So what I want to do is take the next several weeks and explore what God has said in His Word so our minds, our hearts, and our lives can be transformed and we can experience more of His presence in our lives, getting back to the basics. Today, the Word of the Lord is a lifestyle of prayer. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray continually." By the way, those four words are actually verses 16 and 17. So now you have memorized two scriptures from the Bible at church today. Come on. You can go ahead and pat yourself on the back, give yourself a high five. Awesome. You know, the best way to memorize scripture is to start with the short ones. Today you got two. He says, pray continually. How am I supposed to pray continually? Do I just stop my life? I just have to be on my knees all the time and never come up? No, that's not what he's talking about. Praying always just literally means that in every situation, I'm going to surround it in prayer. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to have the appointments, go to work, get my kids to school, go to the game, enjoy life, but I'm going to bring prayer into everything I do, that pray continually. And he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good to know? What is God's will for our lives? Well, it's clear from the scripture. God's will for our lives is to always rejoice, to be joyful, to pray continually, and to give thanks. I would call that a lifestyle of prayer. It's being joyful in the good and the bad, bringing prayer into everything I go through, and giving thanks to God on a regular basis. See, people have made prayer into a lot of things. And honestly, it's caused people to avoid it or to feel like they don't know how to do it or that they don't do it very well. I want to encourage you today, build up your faith. You can have a vibrant, powerful, and effective prayer life. It's possible. I want to talk about how we can live that way. Now, y'all know me and y'all know I believe that church should be enjoyed. It should be fun. Church shouldn't have to be endured, you know. You should be thinking like, whoa, this is over already, rather than thinking, when is this going to be over? But sometimes we need to take a few moments and be serious. Church should be fun. It should be full of laughter. It should be full of God and His power. It should be full of the Holy Spirit and signs and miracles. It should be full of friends and family. But there are also times when I just need to stop and look you right in the eye, make sure you hear me and hear my heart on what's happening. I just want to tell you, our world is in peril. Our nation is in trouble. You don't have to look around too long to realize it. Just turn on the news for a few minutes, get on social media, and you'll see and hear all about it. Hatred, division, racism, shootings, all kinds of evil. Even this past week, I watched in awe and great disappointment. and as our own people, American people, attacked our nation's capital, I was heartbroken to see the destruction and just the blatant lack of care for other people. Can I just tell you, that is not the life Jesus has called us to live. He's called us to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us and say all kinds of evil about it. Even just getting back to the core of what it means to be an American, it's not patriotic to act that way. Man, as Americans, we are one nation of all backgrounds, of all ethnicities, coming together as one people. And I don't know about you, but I've had enough of this demonic, divisive spirit trying to tear our nation apart, trying to tear families and lives apart. It is time for us as followers of Christ to stand up against this evil attack on our nation. It's mind-boggling to see the moral decline that's happening in our nation right now. It's just the outright abandonment of God's will, God's word, and His way. I'm just telling you, church, it's time for us to rise up, stand on the word of God, and begin to pray like we never have before. So what do we do? How do we respond in the face of all that's going on? I believe it begins with humility and prayer. If we want to see a change in our nation, in the hearts of people, it begins in humility and prayer. Let me show you in Scripture. God is speaking to His people in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13. He says, "When I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or I command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people." He's like, there's a drought, there's a plague, there's things that are evil that are going on in the land that can't be controlled and can't be stopped. And we've seen that. We've seen the moral drought. We've seen plagues of disease in our nation and beyond even just this pandemic we're in right now. There is a drought going on. So what do we do in those times? God says, "If my people who are called by my name," now, can you sense a little frustration in God's voice here? He's like, "If my people would just come to me." Like, they know, but they keep going to try to do other things. They wanted to say their own thing, do their own thing. But if my people would just come to me, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, let me tell you what's going to happen. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Come on, this is a promise of God. And this is what we need in our lives, in our cities, and in our nation right now. We need God to heal our land. There's no amount of government, there's no amount of politicians or policies that are going to heal our land. It's only through the power of God in moving in the hearts of people. And you and I, we have a role in what's being ushered into our country right now. Is it revival or are we just sitting by and allowing evil to pour in? See, I believe there's an outpouring of God's healing power that's ready to come in our world. There's a revival that's sparking forth. But can I tell you, the greatest amount of revival goes to the places with the least amount of pride. It goes to the places where there's the most humility. Why? Because it's through humility and prayer that revival begins. Maybe you need revival in your family. Maybe you need just revival in your personal life, in your prayer life. I know here in our city, Orlando, the city of victory, we need revival. Here in America, we need revival. All around the world, whatever nation you're watching in today, we need revival. So today, I want to give us two keys to beginning to develop a lifestyle of prayer and humility. Here's the first one I want to give us today. If you're taking notes, hopefully you'll write these down. If we're going to develop a lifestyle of prayer, then we need time alone with God. Every single person needs time alone with the Lord. We know from Scripture that He's with us all the time, that He's speaking to us. Wherever we go, He's with us. And one of His names, the name of God literally is Emmanuel, and it means God with us. He's with us all the time. He's speaking to us. And we are those people. We know God's voice. We hear Him and we follow and do what He speaks to us. But how many of you know that you can know the voice of your family and your kids, but then you start going through your day and there's all these things that are happening at work, things that need to be done, people are talking to us, and all of a sudden our attention, our focus is moved to other things because you can't focus on a bunch of things all at once. You can really only focus on one thing at a time. This is why we need to get alone with God each day. because it increases our ability to focus on Him and what He's saying to us. I believe this is a time that we need to rise in our personal prayer time because we are in a spiritual battle. And I'm not talking about only what's happening in our nation right now. There is a spiritual battle right now for your destiny. There's a spiritual battle for the destiny of your children and the entire course of generations of your family to come. There's a spiritual battle for your mind, for your thoughts. There's a spiritual battle for your heart and what you're going to hold on to and believe. And I'm not trying to be spooky or sci-fi, weird, or anything like that. No, it's just a picture that the scripture gives us of the spiritual battle. It's found in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, starting in verse 12. It says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood." So let's be clear. As followers of Christ, the struggle, the battle, the fight, it's not against people. It's not against Democrat versus Republican. It's not black versus white. It's not man versus woman. It's not husband versus wife. It's not employee versus boss. No, the battle is not physical. The battle is spiritual. And listen, we need to win the battle spiritually before we begin to see victory in the physical or natural realm. So if the fight is not physical, what exactly is the fight? It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Okay, now, everyone take a deep breath. We're not going to live in fear of demonic spirits. We're not going to live that way. Remember, God has given us everything we need, including what we need to win spiritual battles through prayer. We have overwhelming victory through Christ. So he says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand." So God wants you to be able to stand strong in His power, in His word, because there will be a fight. And if we're standing in our own power, without His power, without taking His armor, then the writer is insinuating that we might not be able to stand. We need the power of God. We need the armor of God daily to be able to stand and fight. And like we have to realize, we don't have to look around too much to see there is spiritual attacks from our spiritual enemy, the devil. It's an attack on our purity. It's an attack on the purity of this next generation of seduction, of lowering the standard. It's okay, and bringing confusion in all those realms. It's an attack on our minds because, right, God has given us the mind of Christ. So no wonder our spiritual enemy wants to attack that and flood people with worry and fear and anxiety. There's an attack on our God-given purpose to get our focus off of our calling, off of our gifts, and onto living this life only for ourselves and what we can do and what we can gain. Now, please don't be discouraged because of all that's going on. Don't be fearful because of the spiritual battles. As much as there is a battle, listen, there's even more opportunities for victory. There's more opportunities to minister healing and share the gospel and the grace of Jesus with others. See, this is what time alone with God and His word does. It equips us. It fills us with strength for the opportunities ahead. Prayer enables us to be ready and equipped to fight and win against any attack that would try to hit our families, to hit our homes or our lives. And if that's the case, we need to strengthen and increase our prayer lives. Let me say it this way. An effective and vibrant prayer life starts with time alone with God. Let me show you in the scripture. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went alone to a solitary place where he prayed. So we see Jesus spending time alone with God. We see it again in Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus had just performed a miracle and fed the crowd of over 5,000 with five loaves of bread and two small fish. Verse 23 says, "After he dismissed the crowd, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone." Think about this for a moment. Jesus getting alone to pray and talk with the Father about what he needed to do to get refreshed, to get strengthened. If Jesus needed to get alone to pray to the Father, how about you and me? right? Jesus was the Son of God. He was the living Word. Scripture says all things that were created were made through him. And still, with all of his travel, all of the ministry, all of the miracles that he did, and all the power that he had, all the messages that he preached, all those amazing things, he still recognized that he needed time alone with God, and he found a way to get alone and seek the Father's wisdom. We need to do the same. See, we see Jesus praying in public with his disciples. We see him praying over the crowds. We see him praying for miracles and for healing, and we see Jesus praying alone. So it's not one or the other, it's all of the above. We talk with God all day long. He's with us everywhere we go. But then there's time that is specifically set apart where we get alone, us and the Father, to seek his face and hear his voice. So whatever you want to call it, devo time, quiet time, a prayer room, the secret place. Listen, we all need time alone with our Heavenly Father. It's time alone with God that he downloads into you revelation knowledge of what he wants you to do and strength to do it, of ideas, solutions to things that others have been trying to figure out. And in the quiet place, God downloads it to you because they come directly from your Heavenly Father. He gives clear, accurate information about assignments that he has for your life, direction he wants you to go in. And the best part is, he fills you with power and strength to do it all effectively. Isn't that good? Let's give God some praise right now. Here's the second key to developing a lifestyle of prayer. Make a plan to pray daily. I'm going to make a plan on my schedule to pray, but I'm also going to have a plan on what to pray. I recently built a table for our back patio for my wife, Heather. It turned out pretty good, if I say so myself, but when I decided to build this table, I started with a plan. I knew what the end goal was, what I wanted the table to look like, and so I got some plans on how to build the table and what the desired look was. And the plans for the table, they were specific. It had the types and the dimensions of the lumber that was needed, the exact cuts that needed to be made, the screws, the finishes, and all the details on how to put it together. Once I had this plan all in place, then I went to the store to buy the supplies so I could begin building the table. But imagine if I would have just said, you know what? I want to build a table. I don't need any plans. I'm sure it'll turn out fine. I'm just going to wing it, right? Then I go to the store, try to buy some random wood. I think that is about the right ones. I don't know if it's enough, too much. Probably the table wouldn't have turned out that great and would have cost way more than it should have and taken way more time than it needed to. See, things that are effective and go the distance start with a plan. Here's the application for our lives. Make an appointment to spend time with God and keep it. Maybe on your smartphone you have a calendar or you use a planner and you write things down. I challenge you this week to put God on your calendar. Schedule him in there just over these next 7 days. And I want to encourage you in this because we need to put priority into our prayer time with God. Make an appointment with God and keep it. And watch what happens. I know you won't regret it. See, my prayer time, I not only have a time to pray with God, but I also have a plan on what I'm going to pray. I have cards that I've cut out of cardstock and written names on them of people that I pray for, people that I'm under. Then I pray for people that I'm over, my family and my staff, leaders, and all the people in the church, including you. There are times when I don't go there and pray over all those names, but the plan was there. I pray over other things. The other thing that I do is I take a notebook or I take a journal to when I go to pray, because the best ideas come while I'm praying and I'm listening to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. I want to give us a couple other specific ways to pray in your prayer time is to pray the Word, pray the Bible. See, there's a promise from God, a seed to plant, for everything we'll face in this life. We can pray in our own words, and we should, expressing what's in our hearts to our Heavenly Father. Our words are good, but God's words just carry a whole lot more power and authority. So when we pray God's word, we are getting ourselves in agreement with what God has already said he would do, and then all of his power and all of his authority is backing those words up. In other words, when we pray the will of God, it's praying the scriptures, praying the Bible. Let me show you in 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 14. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. Did you know you can pray with confidence? So many times people think, I don't know if I'm doing this right. What if it doesn't work? I don't know the right words to say. Start by just praying what's in your heart. I want to build up your faith today so that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God hears you when you pray. You can pray with confidence. So where does the confidence come from? He says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have what we asked of him. So what's the key in knowing that God hears our prayers and that we're going to receive from him what we prayed for? He says, if we ask anything according to his will, that's the key. Asking according to God's will. So what is God's will? Well, the word of God is the revealed will of God. It's his word. It's the Bible. It's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says it's the sword of the Spirit. It says the word is alive and powerful. And when we begin to pray the word, we are praying the will of God. And when we pray that way, God hears us. He begins to move things. Things begin to happen. Listen, when you begin to pray scripture, all of hell better look out because answers are on the way. Now, there's all kinds of amazing prayers to pray throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament at the beginning and endings of the letters that Paul would write to the church in the 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, those books, man, so many great prayers. One that I love is Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. I would just encourage you, pray this prayer over your spouse and over your kids each morning before everyone leaves the house. The prayer is this: we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God and being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience in giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Isn't that an amazing prayer? Imagine how your family would begin to grow and change as you pray this over their lives every day. What if you have a loved one who needs healing, or you need healing in your own life? I'd encourage you, pray Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. It says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. When I pray the Bible, I love to personalize it. I put my name in it. I put my family inside of it. If I was to pray Isaiah 53, 5, it would sound like this: Lord, I thank you that you were pierced for my family's transgressions. You were crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought Heather and Bella and me peace was on you. And by your wounds, Jesus, Heather has healing in her body. Bella has healing in her body. And I have healing in my body. Maybe you struggle with feeling anxiety or panic attacks, fear or worry about the future, what's going to happen. Pray Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. This is what it would sound like personalized. I am not anxious about anything, but in every situation I pray, I bring thanksgiving to God. And the peace of God, which transcends and passes anything I could understand, guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Come on, the word is powerful. So tomorrow, before you go to work, before your kids go to school, pray supernatural favor over their lives. Psalms chapter 5, verse 12. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You bless my family. You surround my children. You surround my spouse with favor like a shield. Psalms 84, 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield around my life. The Lord bestows favor and honor around my wife, Heather, around my daughter, Bella. No good thing, Lord, do you withhold from us, because our walk before you is blameless. Are you getting this today? Praying scripture, praying the word of God. And when you do this, what it's going to do is going to bring so much meaning to your prayers and your time with God. Like, it's going to flip the dynamic and even your attitude towards prayer. Where before it was like, well, this is over. Did I do this right? I hope something works out for me. Instead, you're going to be halfway done praying and you're going to be out of time. And you'll be like, I need to go, but I need 10 more minutes. Like, it just supercharges things and changes everything in your prayer time. So sometimes we might not even know what to pray. I've been in those situations before. Maybe you have too. In that situation, here's another specific way to pray. Pray in the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is something that God has for every believer. Jesus spoke directly about the Holy Spirit, and he said that he would be sent by God the Father to be our comforter, to be our teacher, to be our guide. He would be sent to remind us of the Word. He said that he would be sent to speak to us directly what he hears from the Father. Man, the Holy Spirit is amazing. And as followers of Jesus in this world, we need him more and more in our lives. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, the Apostle Paul teaches us another function of the Holy Spirit. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Ever felt weak before? The Holy Spirit is there to help you. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Isn't that good to know? Even Paul, the guy who wrote 2/3 in the New Testament, didn't know what to pray sometimes, but in those times, he just didn't give up and stop praying. No, the Holy Spirit literally prayed through him when we pray in the Spirit. Some people call it praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, but praying in tongues is a spiritual gift from your Heavenly Father. Many people might think it's weird or have seen or been taught something wrong about praying in tongues, but listen, praying in tongues is not weird. In the life of the believer, it's vitally important. Look what happens when we pray in the Spirit. It says, "And he who searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." Now, come on, we just learned what praying in the will of God does. He hears us, and we have what we ask for when we pray according to the will of God. And when we don't know what to pray, we can pray in the Spirit. We can pray in other tongues. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is literally praying the will of God through us, even though we don't understand the words that we're saying. If you've never been able to pray in the Spirit before, you've never received that gift from your Heavenly Father, in just a few moments, I want to pray for you. And I believe that you can receive this amazing gift from your Heavenly Father today and begin to pray in the Spirit in this amazing way. Another specific way to pray is to pray out loud. Come on, praying out loud triggers faith in you because you're hearing it, and it triggers faith in those who are around you and hear it. Have you ever tried to have a conversation with someone in your mind? You might know what you want to say. You might want to know what you want to communicate. But until you speak the words, your communication isn't going to be all that effective. The words got to come out of your mouth to have the conversation. Listen, we need to pray out loud as well. See, the spoken word activates things and even releases angels in the spiritual realm. Psalms chapter 103, verse 20 tells us, he says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word." Notice it doesn't say obeying the good intentions of people who think about God's word. No, it says obeying the voice of his word. So when we put voice to our faith, when we begin to speak the word of God, the angels are listening for the word of God to be spoken so they can go and act on it. Come on. When we speak, we're releasing things in the unseen realm. Wherever you are today, let's jump to our feet and let's just begin to do this right now. Let's begin to pray right where we are. Lord, I thank you that where we are, there's no distance in prayer. So God, we just begin right now to pray, to seek your face, to stir up our faith right now. God, I pray for those that have been in that place where they felt like they didn't know how to pray or they felt like they didn't do a good enough job. I just loose them right now. I come against that lying spirit that would try to stop people from praying or feel inadequate about it. Lord, I thank you just for a spirit of boldness in prayer. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would bring to our mind and bring to our spirit the word of God in those moments when we need it, when we need to pray, when we need to speak the word so that it would come up outside of us. Give us courage in those moments when we're praying, not just to pray our own things, but to be able to pray the word. God, I pray even for those who have just always prayed in their mind and in their thoughts that this would be a new season, Lord God, to set time apart, to seek you, to begin to pray out loud, to begin to have time with you. And God, I pray that as our time with you increases, Lord God, that you would begin to move in great ways in us and in our families, Lord God. I thank you that we would see your hand on our lives, that your anointing would increase in us. And God, I pray right now for those who want to receive the Holy Spirit and begin to pray in other tongues. God, it is a free gift you have for us as a believer. If that's you right now, you want to receive the Holy Spirit, just right where you are, you can just lift your hands and just receive from your Heavenly Father. And as you do, just begin to open your mouth and let those words come out of your mouth. You might not understand what they are right off the bat, but just begin to let them flow. Maybe it's just one sound or one sound after another, but just begin to let it come out. I'm gonna pray in tongues over you right now. Lord, I thank you for filling your people with the Spirit right now, that we would be able to pray the will of God even when we don't know what to pray. So Holy Spirit, we thank you for how good you are. You are a comforter and our guide, and we welcome you in every part of our lives. And I want to pray for a second group of people today. You're listening to me talk about a lifestyle of prayer and how God wants you to be equipped to gain the victory that he has for you so that you don't have to live in fear of all that's going on around you. But if you're honest, knowing God has never really been something you felt was very necessary or important, or you felt like it was just a list of tasks and duties that you needed to do. Maybe you've tried to be a good person, tried to do some good things, but you always are just left feeling empty. You've done all the things, but it just never seems like enough. And so it's led you to try other things. Maybe you've tried to just find your happiness or to just whatever else. You've looked everywhere. You've tried it all. But if you're honest, you still feel empty. You still feel like you're at the end of your rope. And maybe you've known God in the past. Maybe you've never known him before. This is the moment. I hope that you understand that your Heavenly Father, God, is reaching out to you today. Scripture tells us that anyone who's willing to humble themselves and say, God, I don't have it all together. I can't do this on my own. I give my life fully to Christ. It says that they will be made brand new in their spirit. They'll be filled with the life, the power, and the love of God. It's like being dry and thirsty. But then in a moment when you say, God, I need you, I give my life fully to you, being completely refreshed and satisfied with a cool drink of water. And if that's you, you're ready. You're ready to say yes and surrender your life to Jesus. You're ready, maybe you need to come back to him today and you want to be included in this prayer. You can click to raise your hand in the chat or simply type the name Jesus there in the comments wherever you're watching so someone can pray with you right now. But church, let's pray out loud all together as one family so no one is praying alone. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died for me so that I could live for you. Thank you for giving me new life. Today, I give you mine. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, then right in that moment, Scripture tells us you've been made brand new. All your sin has been removed and you are now a son or a daughter of God. So let me just say welcome to the family of God. And I would be so privileged and honored to have the opportunity to pray with you, encourage you, and help you take some next steps in your faith. Would you send me an email to info@victoryorlando.com or send me a direct message on whatever platform you're watching on right now. I love you so much, and I can't wait to see you right here next week at Church Online.